humans are in control of very little. To think otherwise is not only foolish, but very presumptive. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, the teaching pastor for Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. Thank you for joining us today. God is ultimately in control, and it is He who brings things into our lives as He sees fit and in His perfect timing. Here's Pastor Jim to get us started with our study for today.
Back up in verse 11, He has made everything appropriate in its time, that is, the event, the circumstance, whether planting or sowing or reaping, whether weeping or laughing, whether whatever the condition, whatever the circumstance is that controls and mirrors and reflects and catches us, whatever it is, in its time, that is, as God brings it into your experience, it is appropriate. And we've just seen that God does that to test man, to show man, you're not in control. This is not your world. You're not in control. Very little, if anything, that you control. Now, here's the second thing. He has also, see that, also put eternity in their hearts. But man cannot discover the work God has done from beginning to end. We'll come to that in just a second. How about that eternity thing? God has put eternity in their hearts. That means you can't escape the duration of your longevity. You are going to exist forever. You are going to have consciousness forever. God has put eternity in your hearts. This past Tuesday? I had breakfast with a engineer, right? Engineer. And we got to talking about a number of things, and out of that came this astonishing statement. Now, at one time, I was a pre-med student, so I took advanced biology and all that stuff in high school because I thought God wanted me to become a doctor, a physician. And I was talking about that, and my friend Roy said, well, Pastor Jim, if you took a bag of trash, I think this is a good paraphrase, a bag of trash from your house, and you took it out and you burned it, if you had a contraption that was able to capture the full weight of everything in that bag, okay, and then you burned it up, the ash and everything, that the residue would weigh the same as the trash. And I looked at him and said something very astonishing, like, you have got to be kidding. No, he said, that's a basic scientific principle. Now, I'm sure somewhere back there, I must have walked through that zone where that was real. But I got to thinking about it. That's what he's saying here. God has not even put eternity in our hearts. God has put eternity in the elements. And he went on to talk about how elements can change their form, but they cannot change their nature. You don't destroy the basic elements, right? You don't change them. But if you burn them in fire, the fire and all that's involved there will change the component of that. And he gave me a couple of these wonderful, wonderful scientific things. And I don't understand them yet, but he ended up telling me that carbon is the basic unit upon which and out of which all life is dependent upon carbon. Did I get that right? Okay so far? And see, hydrogen has the ability to move from CH4 plus O2, I know the O2, I think is oxygen, can move to CO2 plus H2O, and I know what that is, that's water. I know exactly what that is, water. Now, his point was, the elements don't lose their integrity, but they have the capacity to integrate and to mold and form connections with other and form different compositions. That was the point of it. Now, all this began, if I remember correctly, by my brilliant question to him, when I fill my gas tank with gas, and I drive down the road, am I actually being propelled by the components that are left residual at my ancestor's body? I mean, am I really driving using the residual complement of my great 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 grandmother's body? Because it takes carbon to make oil, right? I've already lost you. The whole point of the discussion is that elements do not change. They have eternity in them. And I got to thinking about other passages of Scripture where God talks about it. And here's the point. Here's the point. Point is that God, the Creator, here's the point, sustains what He has created. That's the point. And you can change the combinations, but you can't change the basic elements. And that's true with you, my friend. That's true with you. You cannot change the basic component of eternal existence that God is putting. Death doesn't destroy that. Death is not the end. Death is just the transfer of address. And God has built that commodity into His created universe. I was amazed by that. And it struck me, again, to the point that the Creator is smarter, wiser than we are. And He has created a magnificent creation that, quote, cannot and will not be destroyed by man's devices. Is that right? Good. Did I pass the test? We'll have Amit again sometime, and I'll ask you another question. The whole point of that being that there are things that God, the Creator, has done and is doing that you and I cannot revoke. That's the point. Now, you can take those commodities and waste them. And that's what Solomon's talking about. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What was he talking about? He was talking about people who do not respect, who do not appreciate, who do not reverence the Creator's work in themselves as living beings and in the world where God places us. God maintains control over all that, even above Satan's interference. Nothing changes that formula. Nothing. Nothing. So where does all this take us? Look at the last verse in this chapter. Chapter 3, verse 22. I have seen that there is nothing better than for a person to enjoy his activities, because that is his reward. For who can enable him to see what will happen after he dies? Now, what does that mean? It means that God controls the future, and I don't. It means that there's a direct connection between life now, before death, and life then, after death. It means that the same person who lives their life now and makes choices now is going to face the record of those choices in the hereafter. Death doesn't destroy you. It's the change of address, not the loss of identity, personhood, accountability, responsibility. It means that the Creator stands at the center of your life now, and after death, He stands at the center of your life then. Solomon's making the point, you need to remember your Creator. You need to get acquainted with your Creator. You need to order your life and choices after the Creator's plan. You need to make the Creator your best friend. You need to accept the fact that you didn't cause you. Even your mom and your dad didn't cause you. They were the instruments through whom the Creator brought you into existence. The one great question each person must face is the question of God. And if you don't do that, then all of your activities, all of your energies, all of your experience end up being totally futile. They are you're chasing after the wind. And you're not going to win that chase. Solomon brings this book to a close, and I will tonight too, for my part of the study, over in chapter 12. Look at it with me again. Chapter 12, verse 12. Here's what Solomon says. Beyond these, my son, be warned. The things that Solomon has tried to teach these young men through this wonderful book that he's written. Beyond these, my son, be warned, there is no end to the making of many books, and much study wearies the body. When all has been heard, paraphrase, when you've read every book ever written, when you've heard every sermon, every preached, when you've listened to every lecture that can ever be given, when you've met every person who has an idea, a theory, or whatever, when you've exhausted the witness, all of that, when you've exhausted all that, here's the conclusion. Fear God. That means to reverence. That means to remember that He's in a condition that's higher than you, that is before you, that He does not change, and He'll be there after you die. And He's never going to cease. Reverence Him. Get acquainted with Him. He's the most important dilemma you'll ever face. God. Fear Him, Solomon said. Now watch. Keep His commands. My translation says, for this is for all humanity. The notion is that God doesn't make different commands for different people. The notion is that this is the bottom line of all bottom lines. To fear God, to hear what God has said, and then to order my life in obedience to what God has said about who He is. That's the bottom of the bottom of the bottom, the bottom, the non-negotiated condition for success in life. For God will bring every act to judgment, including every hidden thing, whether good or evil. Why? Well, the reason for that is that God is in charge and God is good, the essence of good, the fullness of good. And that which doesn't measure up to or reflect that which God is and has commanded is evil. And God is determined to remove all evil from in any way corrupting, spoiling, or interfering with His eternal goodness. So it's rigged. and you will find yourself as odd man out. Now, Father, that's pretty blunt. That's pretty simple. That's pretty direct. That no matter what we write in our books of philosophy, no matter how much we may think, no matter who the author is, the ultimate test is, does it square with God, the Creator? Does it fit the pattern of His expectations? And does it lift up and exhibit His holiness, His righteousness? If it doesn't, it's evil. And we find ourselves on the wrong end of a debate with the Eternal One. Help us sometimes to dumb it down to the simplest. Help us sometime to set aside all the books ever written, all the lectures ever given, all the sermons ever preached, all the ideas that were ever formulated in man's mind, and to ask the brute question, who are you, God? And what gives you pleasure? What do you will? And begin that as a starting point for choices we make in our lives. Because the text tells us that you're going to judge, you're going to weigh, you're going to evaluate every thought, every deed, even those we have tried to hide. There will be exposure, and there will be absolute perfect justice. And that justice will always weigh in your favor. Thank you for making us in your image after your likeness. And thank you for the enormous capacities that imparts to us. Thank you for the hope of eternity. And it is hope to those who love you and are seeking to honor and glorify you. It is horror to those who do not. Father, this book is very straightforward. Solomon did some very foolish things to be able to speak from experience in all these categories of evaluation. He used the wisdom you gave him and explored many, many avenues. He writes about many here. His bottom line conclusion was, fear God, reverence Him, remember you're a created being and you better know your Creator. And your Creator wants to know you, so He arranges all of these times, a time for birth, a time for death, a time to all these things, to provide testing grounds for us, to learn for ourselves, to experience for ourselves that we're not going to escape you, nor are we going to ever be able to use death as an exit from your presence. Won't work. Help us to know you and to discover your grace and mercy and kindness, your goodness, your love, and experience fellowship with you, not just now, but forever. And we thank you, Father, for that wonderful grace that you extend to us through the person and the incarnation and the death and resurrection and ascension of that one who is the Son of God. For doing all that on our behalf so that you could extend to us grace, mercy, forgiveness that we do not deserve, could never earn. But it's offered to us in full measure as a gift from your heart. purchased for us at great cost. Thank you for this book. Wow. Help us not to forget in the litany of our reading to spend much time here in this special volume we call the Scriptures. And help us to listen with all our hearts and respond with open obedience to all that you said. Now, dear friend, before I say amen, if you are not a friend of God, your Creator, understand that's not his fault. Understand he's already fixed the problem. And if you will respond in faith and in commitment to him, he will give you a gift that puts you on the inside of the rigged game of human existence. And the way you respond to that is to receive Jesus Christ into your life as your Savior. Surrender your will to the will of God the Father through the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's your part, my part. And to those who will call upon the name of the Lord, he has offered and promises to give eternal salvation. Thank you for Solomon's writing. Help us to hear it well. And teach us then to live it carefully. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, don't delay. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose by receiving Christ as your Savior. So, Spirit of God, move in our hearts, we pray, and bring glory to your name through our lives, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
God is today extending to all of us grace and mercy that has no limit. If you would like rest from the rat race of this world, it is available just in trusting him. He has already paid the price for our rebellion and sin. Now, if we'll accept that gift, the load of trying to be good enough or rich enough or perfect enough is lifted off of us, and we can rest in him. Well, this concludes our short series of studies into Ecclesiastes. Now, these daily lessons are available on single CDs. If you would like a copy for your own home library, we have them available. We're calling today's lesson, For Every Day There Is a Season. And for your gift of $7 or more, we'll send you this single lesson. Our complete series, Ecclesiastes, is available in a 3-disc set for your gift of $12 or more. There are several ways you can order. You can call our toll-free number, 1-800-984-2313. Or you can order on the internet. Just log on to rightstartradio.org. Our website features an archive of past programs and complete uninterrupted sermons. Or just write to us at Right Start Radio, Post Office Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. To those of you who support Right Start on a regular basis, we offer a big thank you. Your prayerful financial support is important in helping defray the expenses of producing this program. I'm John Skillman. Thank you for listening today. Plan now to join us again on Tuesday at this same time for our next edition of Right Start. Thank you.